flags along the lawn. It's pretty special, and it's an honor that we have so many in our congregation that gave their time, and some that we know have even given their lives, and we're thankful for that. And it's an honor to serve in the Lord's army as well. And that's what we want to continue talking about. When we stand before the Lord and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," I pray that we all say, "It was an honor to serve you, Father, down here." And sometimes that comes with some difficult circumstances. Sometimes that comes with some prices, some sacrifices that we have to pay. And I was taught in Bible college that I don't know if it was the same professor that Mike was talking about in the communion meditation or not, but my preaching professor taught me that you never start a sermon with a negative. I don't know if you all know this or not, but everything that I should have done in Bible college, I didn't do. I tell people all the time, if I'd spent as much time in the books and in class like I was supposed to, instead of being in the gym doing some things I wasn't supposed to, I'd have my PhD by now. But here's the deal. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to start with a positive today. I'm going to start with a negative because that's... That goes against what I was taught, I know, but that's what I'm going to do. I was always taught, start with a positive, never start with a negative. Well, here we are. We're going to start with a negative today. You're going to experience pain in this life. Welcome to church. I'm here to make you feel good about yourself today. You know, that's what a lot of people think. You know, we skip past a lot of these things. We just want to give an uplifting word to encourage people and just walk out of here feeling good. But that's not the case always. We're going to experience pain. All of us will. The reality is some of the pain that we experience in our life is pain that is beyond our control. Jesus even said this himself. John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." And a lot of times the trouble that we experience in this life is not our fault. You get in a freak accident. Somebody betrays you. Somebody hurts you. Your company downsizes and you're looking for a new job. Your kid comes home with a cute little kitten that he found alongside of the road. You know, you're gonna experience some trouble in your life, and a lot of the pain that you have, a lot of the trouble that you have in your life is beyond your control. But the reality is, some of the pain that we experience within our life is within our control. You will have a choice between one type of pain or another. In other words, I think there are times when you can choose your pain. Think of it this way. You can choose the pain of obeying your parents today or face the consequences of not obeying your parents later on down the road. And all the parents said, amen, absolutely. You can choose the pain of living within your means and not having some of the things that everybody else has. You can choose the pain of living within your means or the pain of being under a mountain of debt. The choice is yours. You can choose the pain of studying for an exam today, or you can experience the pain of retaking the class a little bit later on, right? You choose your pain. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about choosing a certain type of pain. So our big decision, our big choice, this or that, what we're talking about today is, are we going to choose the pain of discipline now or the pain of regret later? Will I choose the pain of discipline now or the pain of regret a little bit farther on down the road? And we all have different types of pains, but what are we going to choose in this regard? Are we going to give up something now to have something a little bit later on? And if you're taking notes, write this down. This is kind of a working definition. It's not really Webster's, but I think it works for... There's a lot of... You look it up. There's a lot of different definitions for discipline and... This is the one we're going to use today. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Okay? Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. And in order to set this up, what I want to do is I want to look at what the Apostle Paul had to say in the book of Romans chapter 7. And he almost sounds crazy when he says it. But remember, this is the guy that met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus had died. He'd been buried. He rose again. And Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus. And he's healed of blindness. And he writes most of the New Testament. And if there's anybody that had a spiritual edge, if there's anybody that you can look at in Scripture and say, this guy should have gotten it right. If there's anybody that you can look at in Scripture and say, this guy had his act together all the time, it's Paul, right? In Romans chapter 7, listen to what Paul says. He talks about how difficult it is to do the right thing. I'll be honest, his struggle to get it right sometimes makes me feel good about myself, because I think if there's a guy like Paul who struggled getting it right, then there's hope for a guy like me, right? Anybody ever felt that way? Because I mess up a lot of times. Here's what Romans 7:15 says. Remember, this is Paul, and he almost sounds crazy. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. He's saying, I really don't understand myself. I don't know why I do it. I want to do what's right, but for some reason, I do what I hate instead of what is right. Instead of doing what I know I should be doing, I'm doing the complete opposite. Anybody ever been there? Right? How many of you have said, I can't believe I ate the whole thing? How many of you have ever said that? How many of you just thought of the Alka-Seltzer commercial just now from the 70s? Remember that? Can't believe I ate the whole thing. I didn't intend to eat the whole thing. But when I sat down and I started eating, next thing I know, I got an empty plate. I ate the whole thing. I can't believe I did that. You know? I don't want to do what's wrong. This is what Paul says, and you have been here before. I don't want to do what's wrong. But for some reason, I do that. And in verse 24, he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? He sounds like there's no hope. I can't do it. I want to. I want to really badly, but I can't. He says, who can help me? And then his tone changes, and he says, thank God, I'm a crazy man. I can't do it by myself. I can't get it right on my own. But praise God, I don't have to do it right on my own. The answer's right here. Here's what he says. And let's read this all together. Let's say it out loud. Read this with me from the screen. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's like Mike said, when we drink this juice and take this bread, this is not a over and over deliverance each week. He's already delivered us. The answer is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's saying, I want to do the right thing, but I can't do it. I'm often ashamed that I don't get it right. I often feel down because I don't get it right. I get down on myself. Sometimes I feel flat out embarrassed because I don't do the right thing. You would think by now that I would get this right, but I don't. Who can ever help me? Praise be to God that he delivers me through Jesus Christ, my Lord. The good news is this. Here it is. The answer is not me getting better. Okay? The answer is not me getting stronger. The answer is in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't strive to get better. That doesn't mean that we don't strive to get stronger. But that's not where our salvation is found. It's not in the amount of right things that we do. Our salvation is in Jesus Christ. And that's key to our whole message today, that on our own, we are prone to, over time, make wrong choices. How many of you, even maybe late in life, how many of you have stopped making wrong choices? Go ahead and raise your hand. Even if you're late in life, have you stopped making wrong choices, or do you still mess up every once in a while? Sure. But with the help of Christ, we overcome that. Okay? And so we are striving today to do our best to choose discipline over regret. And we're going to talk about how Paul did this. And I think it's amazing. It's fun to watch his growth, how he learned how to tap into the power of Christ living in him, and how he learned to live a more disciplined life and not do some of the things that he was struggling with in this passage of scripture that we're reading today. This is a guy that says, you know what, I can't get it right, but watch how he progresses. We're going to flip over to 1 Corinthians 9:24, and he uses the imagery or the metaphor of a race. And I love the way he says this. He says in verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Everyone runs, but there's only one winner. Everybody wants to win, but only one person gets the prize." Paul would not be popular today because he's saying, we're not handing out participation trophies today, folks, okay? He says, run to win. Right? He's saying, run like there is no second place. And so when you're running, every bit of focus, every bit of your intensity, every bit of the power that you have, you are putting into running the race because you are running the race to win. The other day on Facebook, I was scrolling through and this little gem popped up on the screen. Now, I don't know how well you can see this, but it popped up on my timeline. And this is a picture of the Forest Park Elementary Track Team in Brazil, Indiana from 1980. Right? My track team won first place. Now, I understand when you look at me and you think Ron Bridgewater, you think fast. You think track. You think, man, there's a runner right there. I know you don't do that. Honestly, I was on the team, actually. Go ahead and put it. See, that's me right there in front of the bearded guy. That's Mr. Emsweller, my sixth grade teacher. And that's me standing right behind Bucky Price. And anyway, I was on the team not because I was fast, even though I had to run some of the races. I was on the team because they had a special event that they called the softball throw. They didn't trust 12-year-olds with a shot put, I guess. So we had a softball throw, and I was on the team. But I did have to run a few of the races because they needed me just for, you know, a body count, I guess. And my problem wasn't that I didn't run hard. I ran hard. My problem was I ran too long in the same spot. You know, I tried. I ran hard. I ran to win the race, but for some reason, my feet didn't want to go forward all that much. And I love this passage of scripture. It gets me kind of fired up because I'm competitive. I don't like to lose. Kendall's right there with me. Some of you are right there as well. And Paul goes on, and you can see how really contagious this imagery is. He said, all athletes are disciplined in their training. If you're going to win, if you want to win the race, you have to be disciplined to win the race. In other words, here's what he's saying. You have to train. You have to discipline yourself. You have to choose what you want most over what you want now. Right? If this is our definition of discipline, we have to choose what we want most over what we want now. What I want most is to be in tip-top shape. What I want now is to sleep in and eat pizza and ice cream, right? Who's with me on that? Okay? You have to choose what you want most over what you want right now. And that's the problem in our society today because we live in such an instant gratification society. That's why so many people are failing in so many ways is because they're not willing to choose what they want most and sacrifice some of the things that they want now to get there. And the root word for discipline is the same root word that creates this word disciple. So if we're disciples of Jesus, we are to be disciplined. If we are following Christ, we need to be disciplined. And he goes on to say, all athletes go into their training and they do it to win a prize that will fade away. Okay? In other words, they're doing it when your kid's soccer team or your grandkid's soccer team wins the championship and they get this cheap little plastic trophy, or they get this little medal and ribbon that hangs around their neck. You know what? They did a great job and that's fun. It makes them feel, but that's going to pass away. Even, here's the deal, gold medals in the Olympics are going to fade away. And we as Jesus followers, we run this race and we all can win it. That's the good news is we all get first place if we run the prize or the race correctly. We get the prize that lasts forever. It's an eternal prize, and that's why we run to win. We're not doing it for some little trophy that's going to pass away. We're going to do it for a crown that lasts forever, and to honor and glorify the one who gave his life for us. That's why we do it. And everything we do, we are to do it as it is unto the Lord. Not for anybody else, not for human appreciation or human masters, but to glorify God. That's why we run to win with everything that is in us. And I love the imagery that Paul is using here. When he said to his audience, run the race, his audience would have been thinking about a race known as the Isthmian Games, okay? And this was a very popular race, and it was a very intense race, and it was run with a lot of patriotic pride. It's not too different than what we see in the Olympics. And what these athletes would do is they would go into a 10-month, very strict training program, okay? That no junk food, no alcohol, no Diet Coke. They would expose themselves to extreme heat. They would expose themselves to extreme cold. They would do this to shock their bodies, to train their bodies, to be able to put up with whatever elements there might be. And then the author of Hebrews, he uses the same imagery. He says, you run the race that's been marked out for you. And this is what he says in Hebrews. This is what the author of Hebrews says. Therefore, let us take off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And he's saying this in the context of the race that the people were familiar with, the Isthmian Games, okay? And it's important to know this because the people who were hearing this knew exactly what he was talking about. He said, let us take off everything that hinders us from running to win. Let us take off the sin that entangles. And when Paul, or when the writer of Hebrews was saying, you know, let's take off everything that hinders us for the race, everyone would have known what the athletes were going to do, literally. And this is kind of gross, I understand. But what they would do is they would take their clothes off and they ran the race with no clothes, okay? That's it. They ran naked. I would not have been on that track team. I'm just telling you right now, that is not the team I wanted to be on. And I don't care if they needed somebody for the softball throw. I was not going to be on that team. But he's saying, listen, let's forget about the clothing. Let's talk about the sin that's in our lives that's keeping us from running the race that God is calling you to run. What is it that is hindering your walk with Christ? What is it that is hindering your ability to run the race that's been marked for you, to win a prize that'll never spoil, it'll never perish, it'll never fade. You know? If you don't mind, can I go on a rant for a minute? You know? I tell you, and I've been there. But we come to church every week. What do we do? You know? How do we approach church? Do you come in with a prayerful expectation of God's going to do something great in the service? Or do you come saying, well, it's Sunday morning, 8:30, it's time to go to church, this is what I do, you know? What do you do when you go to a game? When you go to a game, do you like to sit in the worst seats possible at a game? No, you want to be up front, you want to be where the action is. I'm not picking on those of you in the back row just yet. But do you come early? Do you come with a sense of expectancy? Do you come up to the front? Do you come in prayerfully? Do you come expecting to hear from God? Do you come in saying, God, I'm going to bring a sacrifice of praise today. I'm going to bring a sacrifice of worship today. God, I believe that you're going to speak to me today through what your servant has to say up front, whether that is through special music, whether that's through communion meditation. Goodness, it might be through the announcements. I don't know. Hopefully something is said to you through the word of God. Something is going to happen. I'm coming to church today expecting something to be said that's going to impact my life. Or do you come out of religious obligation? I'm running to win. I'm coming to the house of God with an expectation that God's going to speak to me today. Even though I'm the one up here doing most of the speaking, He's going to speak to me today. I'm going to do my best to glorify Him, and He's going to speak to me, and hopefully He's going to use me. I'm encountering God. I'm hearing from God. I'm being transformed by His power. I'm going to be in His presence. I'm going to get to minister to someone else. I'm going to serve God today. I'm here with a purpose. If you come into church every week and you expect, if you believe that God's going to speak to you, you're going to hear from Him. If you're just coming out of religious obligation, saying, well, you know what, I'm not really expecting a whole lot today, guess what you're going to get? You're probably not going to get a whole lot today. But if you come in with an expectation that God is going to do something, you're starting to look for things in worship. You're starting to look for things in the message, in the communion meditation, in just people sharing together before and after the services, during the greeting time. You'll hear from Him if you're looking for it. It should be that when we walk into this church on a Sunday morning, we leave different than how we came in. You will be different. You should be. And if you come with that expectation, there's a greater chance that's going to happen. Here's something else I learned in Bible college. That your messages should always have a so what. R.J. Kidwell taught us that your messages, your sermon should have a so what. In other words, what's the application? Okay, you've given me this history. You've given me some of this stuff from the Bible. You've communicated knowledge to me, but so what? I've got a couple of application questions for you, okay? Here's the thing. What do you want most? That's question number one. What do you want most? And I need your help here. What I want you to do is I want you to think about the thing in your life that you want most right now. What do you want most? Some of you, it's time for you to take Christ seriously. For some of you, maybe you've just been playing the game. Someone else maybe say, hey, you know what? I want to be in better shape. I'm gonna quit smoking. I'm going to lose 20 pounds, something like that. Some of you, it's like, all right, game on. I'm paying off my debt. I'm paying off my student loan. Game on. Bring it on. This is what I'm going to do. For some of you, it might be your marriage. You're no longer going to tolerate average. You're no longer going to tolerate bad. You want to honor God with your marriage. Whatever it is, I want you to think about that. I want you to name that. You can write it down if you want. And I want you to be careful here, because here's what happens with a lot of people who live a really undisciplined life. There are so many things that you know you need to be changed. You don't know where to start. Start with what you want most. What do you want most? And then you find victory in that. And you know what starts to happen? When you find victory in that one thing that you want most, it becomes easier by the power of God to find victory in the other areas. Here's the second application question, okay? What do you need to choose now to achieve what you want most? Okay? What do you need to choose now? What do you need to do right now to achieve what it is that you want the most? You're smart people. You can figure it out. What do you want the most? You say, well, you know what? I want to be really close to God. Okay. Well, you know, start reading His Word. Get a Bible reading plan. We've been offering those for you. There's plenty online. Start getting into God's Word. Become a student of God's Word. Make a commitment to be together in community. We are a family. We are people who worship God in this place every single week. Church should not be an option. It should be a priority. Seek God first every single week. Get here early. Be prayerful. Start serving. Get involved in the church and community and Sunday school through care groups on Sunday night, whatever. We would never, never try to serve Jesus without the strength of community. So what do you need to do now? You need to get involved. You need to be in community. You want to get in better shape. You want to lose 20 pounds. What do? Join a gym. Get a trainer, perhaps. Maybe some kind of home workout thing. Get some advice on your diet. Because from what I understand, 90% of losing weight is your diet. I cannot tell you that from personal experience. That's just what I've heard, okay? Most likely, they're going to tell you to lower your carbs, lower the sugar, maybe increase the protein, some of that kind of blah, 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 blah stuff, you know. And then what you want to do is you're going to start applying it, right? Because you want something most, and you're not going to settle for what you want now. You're going to choose what you want most. And I'm asking you that question. You say, well, you know what? I want a great marriage. What are you going to do? It's not rocket science, all right? If you claim to be Christians, are you praying together? I mean, how can you expect the ultimate intimacy with your spouse, spiritually speaking, if you're not seeking spiritual intimacy with God? Does that make sense? Have a date night every week, okay? Once a week, a couple hours. No regrets, right? Just get together. Have some time to discuss some things together. It might be that your marriage needs more than a tweak. Maybe you need a third party. Maybe you need counseling. I want to get out of debt. What do? Well, you know, get a Dave Ramsey financial peace class. You know, get some help. 2 months, a one-hour class, you know, one night a week. That could change your life forever. And say, well, you know what, that's hard. I don't know if I can commit that much time or not. It's going to take some work. Well, yeah, it's going to take some work. Praying with your spouse is awkward sometimes. Going to counseling is expensive. Yeah, you know what, choose your pain. I mean, seriously, choose your pain. You can choose the pain of discipline or you will experience the pain of regret. What do you want most? What do you need to choose now to achieve or experience what you want most? Listen to what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9:26. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And so Paul is continuing this imagery of the race, and he says, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should do. And I don't know, there are areas of my life that are incredibly undisciplined. That's why I have to run with purpose every single step. That's why I got to have people in my life that will hold me accountable. In other words, we all have to get to the point in our lives where we say, Jesus, I don't just need you now. I need you every moment of every single day. And what I hope you'll understand is there's never a moment where you don't need Jesus. Without Him, I'm a lot like Paul in this passage of Scripture, right? Without Jesus, I don't want to do what's wrong. Sometimes I do. I need His power. I need His strength. I need Him with me. Because there's days when I'm weak. There's days when I don't get it right. Let me explain it to you this way. You want a beautiful yard, right? You want a beautiful yard. But in order to get down to your car that is parked along the street, because you don't have a garage and you don't have enough room in your driveway to park everybody's car down there, so you have to park on the street, and you want a beautiful yard. But in order to get from the front of your house to your car, you have to walk off your front porch, sidewalk a little bit, to the driveway, down the side, and then over like this. But you're willing to do that because you want a beautiful yard. But you get up one morning and you come out of the house and you say, you know what, I want a beautiful yard, but the shortest distance between where I'm at right now and my car is to just walk across the yard to get to the car. I don't want to go down the sidewalk, down the driveway, back down the sidewalk to get to my car. I'm going to take that straight shot just this one time. Not all that big a deal. You walk it one time, didn't really hurt anything. So the next day you come out of the house, you think, you know what? I probably shouldn't do this again, but I did it yesterday and it really wasn't all that big a deal. And so you decide to go across the yard again instead of taking the sidewalk to the driveway to the other sidewalk. And you're thinking, you know what? It's kind of a little bit of a rush because I'm doing something I know I shouldn't be doing. And when you do that, when you do something you know you're not supposed to be doing, the body, the brain releases a thing called dopamine, and it almost gives you a little bit of a legal kind of fun high, I guess, is the way scientists explain it. You're doing something forbidden, and so your brain gets all jacked up, and then it's fun, and it's easy, and then you do it once, and then you do it several times, and when you walk out, you say, well, you know what? I've been doing it all this time. It's really not all that big a deal. I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to walk across the yard to where I park my car. And what scientists say is happening here is that you are creating a new neural pathway to where you say, this is simply what I do now. When I walk out of the house, this is what I do. And what happens when you do that long enough? When you walk out of your house and you take the shortcut and you go across the yard, after time, what happens? You turn around and you look, and there's been a path that has been worn across that beautiful yard that you wanted to have. And what you wanted most was a beautiful yard. But now you don't have it because you chose what you wanted now instead of what you wanted most. And you messed it all up. As disciples of Jesus Christ, if we are going to be disciplined, we instead have to choose to be patient, right? And to strive for what we want most rather than what we want now. We walk out of the house, we say, you know what? No, I want a nice yard, so I'm going to walk down the sidewalk, down the driveway. Might take a little longer. Oh, my knee hurts, my back hurts, you know, and wait, that's my knee, that's my back. Okay, my knee hurts, my back hurts. I'm going to cut across the yard today. No, I'm willing to go through the pain, go the extra to get what I want. Or for you, maybe it's more like this. I want to buy this thing. And the shortest distance between me and this thing is debt. So I'm willing to not buy this now, not get under a mountain of debt. And I want the freedom so that I can maybe help people, I can give to the church more, I can be generous. And so I'm going to walk this way and I'm going to save money, I'm going to continue to give, and eventually, you know, I'll have what I want most over what I want now. Attractive woman comes up, guys, and guys, you're tempted. There's times this might happen when a sinful lust takes you farther than you ever intended to go, and maybe you take an extra long look, or maybe you even pursue. You're willing to take that shortcut, and what you need to do is you need to say, no, I want to honor God. This is what I want most. This is what I want more than anything. I want to honor God. I want to honor my wife. I'm going to fight for purity in my life. I'm choosing with purpose to walk every step of the way with Jesus rather than give in and take the shortcut. We're choosing the path that we know is right. We're choosing what we want most over what we want now. From a biblical perspective, what it means is God's word actually is starting to renew our minds. You're no longer thinking in a sinful pattern, but you're starting to think with the mind of Christ. I'm disciplined, but it's not me. It's Christ living in me. And this is so important. This is what Paul said. Hey, I want to do what's right. Sometimes I can't. Who can help me? Jesus is the one who can help me. Jesus is the one who empowers us to choose appropriately what I want most over what I want now. It's Christ in me who helps us to choose discipline over regret. That's why I run the race. That's why I run it to win. Now, this is really important. I don't want you to miss this as we start to wind down here. What did you think of when I asked you, what do you want most? Think about that for a moment. Maybe you wrote something down. What do you want most? And what do you need to choose right now so that you can achieve or you can experience what you want most? Because here's the deal. For some of you, if you don't choose to do something now about what you want most, very likely it could become your greatest regret. Let me say that again. If you do not do something now about that which you want most, that very likely could become your greatest regret. I don't want to live with regrets. I don't want to get to the end of my life and I don't want to be lying on my deathbed and say, man, I wish I'd spent more time with my kids. Man, I wish I was more loving to my wife. Man, I wish I was a better minister than I was. I don't want any regrets. I wish I was a better friend. I don't want that to happen. I don't want my life to go by so fast and I'm so busy that I miss God working in my life. I don't want that. If I'd only taken care of my body, I wouldn't be dealing with this. I don't want that. If I'd only spent less than I made, I wouldn't be in financial ruin like now. Maybe I could leave something for my family, or leave something for the church. Listen, you talk to anybody at the end of their life who's battling with regrets, it changes everything. I don't want to be the one who is dying, living with regrets. We all have a choice. And maybe some of you need to make a choice today. Maybe some of you, you walk out your front door, you're looking at your yard, and you're saying, this is what I want most, but man, I have worn a path in my yard, and it looks awful. Here's the good news. If you stay off your path long enough in your yard, guess what? It'll grow back. Right? It'll grow back. A neighbor of ours, their entire yard turned brown, like overnight. It was awful. It was terrible looking. Everybody had nice green grass. His was awful brown. It had all died. But you know what? He started working on it, and it all came back, and it all looks good again. That's the way God is. You might have worn down that path in your life. You say, there's no way that God can restore that. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. If you don't think God can rescue you from whatever it is that you're going through right now, then you don't know God. You're calling Him a liar. I encourage you, some of you, make that decision today. It might be a first-time decision to say, God, I've never really put You first in my life. I'm going to do that today. Maybe you've never confessed Him as the Christ. You've never repented of your sins or been baptized into Him. Do that today. Maybe some of you just need to make some tough choices outside of here today that says, you know what, I'm going to strive for what I want most rather than what I want now. And it's my prayer that every single one of you, what you want most is to live your life for Jesus and to get the end of the race and you've won the prize. And He says, well done. Now, good and faithful servant, would you stand with me?